MapQuest and GPS. And so I asked a friend to give me very specific and detailed directions that would take me directly to my destination. He did so. He even included the exit numbers that I would take, and he gave me landmarks to look for along the way so I'd know that things were going well. Well, I was doing just fine until I came to the place, you know the place, where Highway 35 splits off into 35W going toward and 35 East going to St. Paul. Now, according to my directions, I was to take 35W, but I knew that my destination was in a suburb of St. Paul, so I couldn't figure out why I would ever take an exit leading to Minneapolis. So I decided my friend made a mistake, and I boldly took 35E. I drove for a while, and I wasn't seeing any of the landmarks anymore that he had talked about, and I wasn't finding the next exit that I was to take. You see, his set of directions depended on my taking 35W. They depended upon my trusting him. When I stopped trusting and started taking control of the situation myself, I found myself confused and frustrated and lost for many, many hours. This is a story of trust. Maybe lack of trust. It's also a story of control. Lacking trust and needing control remind me of our scripture story for this morning. At the point where we are beginning, Abraham was still being called Abram. When Abram was 75 years old, God told him to leave his country and leave his people and go to a new land. God made with him a covenant, a promise that he would bless him and make from him a nation. Abram believed God and obeyed, taking with him his possession and his servants, his wife Sarai, and his nephew. As they were traveling, a famine fell upon the land, and so they had to go to Egypt. Abram feared that when the Egyptians saw how absolutely beautiful his wife Sarai was, that they would kill him so that they could take her for themselves. So rather than trust that God would look out for them and care for them, he took matters into his own hands. He told Sarai to tell the Egyptians that she was his sister, thinking that then his life would be spared and he would be treated well for her sake. She did that, and then Pharaoh took her as his wife. But when Pharaoh found out that Sarai was actually Abram's wife and not his sister, he summoned Abram, gave Sarai back to him, and banished them from Egypt. More time passed, and then Abram became impatient again. After 10 years and many trials, he wanted to know whether God was really and truly going to fulfill God's promise. That's where today's scripture reading comes in. The Lord comes to Abram in a vision. Abram points out that he and Sarai, they are still childless, and there is going to be no one but the servants to inherit all the blessings that God has bestowed upon them. God told him that he would have a son, and that their descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the heavens. Abraham trusted what God said. And our scripture today tells us that God credited that to him as righteousness. Abram trusted God. That is, he trusted God for a while. And then once again, he took matters into his own hands. When more time went by and Sarai still hadn't born any children, he had relations with Sarai's servant Hagar, and they conceived a boy child who was named Ishmael. As you might guess, this caused feelings of jealousy and rivalry between Sarai and Hagar, and God told Abram that Ishmael was not to be his heir. When Abram was 99 years old, God again appeared to him. This time, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham and told him that he would be the father of many nations. And God told him that Sarai was now to be called Sarah and that she would give birth to a son and she would be the mother of many nations. Sarah was 90 years old at the time. So, of course, both Sarah and Abraham thought that it was impossible, but they learned that nothing is impossible with God. The promise was fulfilled. She had a son, and they named him Isaac. For more details of the story, go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. You know, when we talk about how God uses everyone and that we don't have to be perfect, don't we see that in the life of Abraham? Are we ever like Abraham, feeling a need to be in control, forgetting that situations are not always as they appear to be or as we want them to be? Do we ever act like Abraham, taking matters into our own hands rather than trusting and following God and having the patience to do that? God called Abram to trust God's promise. And God calls us to do the same. No matter how much we might want to, we can't always be in control of the circumstances in life. Death and illness and other things happen that are beyond our control. And other times, it's not good for us to be in control because we might not see the whole picture clearly. And so often, when we seek to be in control, we forget that we are also in community. And in such cases, God calls us to trust. So often when we say control, God says trust. We say, this situation is making me feel uncomfortable, so I'm going to take action to resolve this so that I can refrain from being uncomfortable. And so often God says to us, please be still and know that I am God. We say, I have so much on my mind that I am overwhelmed with stress and I cannot sleep. God says, cast your burden upon me and I will give you rest. We say, this is what I want to accomplish, accumulate, and do with my life. God says, give your agenda to me. Let my will, not your will, be done. Follow me. We say, I've messed up. I've really failed. And we lose our sense of well-being. God says, you are my beloved child. I forgive you, and I will always give you new opportunity. We say, we don't have enough money or people to do what we'd like to do. God says, I will give you all the resources needed to do everything that I am calling you to do. We speak of scarcity. God speaks of abundance. We say, I'm going to make you pay for hurting me. God says, pray for those who persecute you. We say, I'm going to prove that I am right, that I'm a good person. God says, let your actions speak for you. When we say control, so often God says, trust me. Most of us are quite familiar with the first part of the Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr. Recovering addicts pray this because they have learned that they are not in control. To be healthy and free from the power of addiction, they need to trust a power, a source greater than themselves. The prayer goes, read it with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. But did you know that there's more to the prayer than just that? It continues. Read it with me. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. How does this apply to trusting God? We are responsible in our lives to take healthy action. We're not just to sit back and wait for things to happen upon us. We are to take action. But in taking action, we are to deal with our inner selves, which causes us to think and behave and believe the way we do. We're called to pull our weight to make a positive difference as we make our way in this world. We are called to boldly and actively take action. And we need to lean on God in the midst of all of that action taking, seeking to discern God's leading, realizing that we can't control all the events of life, we can't even understand all the events of life, and that we don't have enough strength and wisdom in and of ourselves to handle everything that's going to come our way. There's a certain amount of faith, a certain amount of trust that is necessary for our long-term physical and emotional and spiritual health and vitality, isn't there? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 calls us to this life of trust. Read this verse with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways, and God will direct your paths. We can't always be in control as much as we might want to be. And it's not good for us to always try and be in control. But there is one thing we can always do. We can always trust God. Trust that God knows what is true, understands what is best for us, sees the bigger picture. We can trust that God will never, ever fail us or abandon us, no matter what is happening in our lives, no matter how overwhelming or impossible it may seem. We can trust God's love for us. And so let's go a little bit deeper. Let's make it more personal. What are you needing to trust God with right now? How can you actively express that trust? There are going to be times in each of our lives, just like there were times in Abraham's life, when we desperately want to be in control. When trust seems, oh, so hard. At such times, will we choose to remember that our lives are in hands stronger and wiser than our own? Then even though the storms of life will shake us up, our faith will be able to sustain us. Then we won't need to manipulate or coerce others. Instead, we will be freed to be in loving relationship with God and each other. Then when we fall down, and when we have setbacks, and even when we really mess up, we will pick ourselves up with the help of God beside us, who loves us, forgives us, heals us, strengthens us. A final story to leave you with. Years ago, during a storm in the Georgian Bay of Canada, a ship was wrecked. The mate with six men and one girl were able to rescue and escape in a boat. But the waves were so high that the craft turned over and over again until one by one, each of the strong men lost their hold and disappeared in the sea beneath the angry billows. In the midst of it, the mate managed to lash the girl to the boat, and she ended up drifting to shore, where she alone was saved. She didn't escape because of her superior skill or her strength or her wisdom. She was saved because she was fastened firmly to that which did not sink. Beloved ones in Christ, here in this house of worship, we come to fasten ourselves to the one who will not sink. We gather regularly to help us remember, to place our trust in God, even and especially in those times when it is most hard. We come together to remind each other that no matter how difficult or challenging our circumstances are, God holds us and we are called to hold each other. And we come to the communion table. We come knowing that we are created by God, loved, accepted, forgiven, embraced just as we are, and always and forever guided by God's great love. Friends in Christ, beloved ones, come to Christ's table today. You are invited. Come and be reminded that you are held in God's love. And may you leave this table knowing with confidence that you can trust God. Trust God. Trust God with it all. Amen.